we give our praise to God, but he gives us the ability to praise him. I mean, it's just all a kind of a circle that starts with him and ends with him. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to say thank you for all the kindness shared earlier. We love you guys. And we do think of you as family. In fact, I look out here, I see some of my best friends, people who I consider family. And Naomi and I have been here long enough now that it's fun for us to, marry some kids that we dedicated when they were little. And now we're dedicating babies of kids that we dedicated when they were little. Pretty cool to have that kind of ministry here. We've been here long enough to see that and experience that. And thank you for putting up with us all these years. It's really our privilege to serve here. If God allows, we'll continue on. That's the plan. We love what God is doing here in Boone. Glad to be a part of it, and glad to partner with you all in that as well. All right, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 3, and I'll get there in a minute. But just for fun, well, this one is not in my script, but I saw this just the other day. I shared it with a couple guys in the cafe this morning. In the Star Wars franchise, Yoda, did you know he had a last name? Leahy who? Yoda Leahy who? I know, it's one of those corny ones. Hey. Well, just for fun, family vacations. How many have family vacations from time to time? A few of you, okay. But they do have some tedious moments. And there's a story about a dad, mom, and the two boys were about 200 miles into their trip when dad had enough. Sound familiar? Ever since we left home, he said, you boys have been picking on each other, yelling names, and tearing up the backseat of the car. I'm putting an end to this now. And he slammed on the brakes, pulled the car off to the side of the road, jerked his sons out, and spanked them both soundly. Yeah. I don't want to hear one word out of either of you for 30 minutes. Not one word. The two boys sat still and quiet for at least 30 minutes until the youngest one meekly said, Daddy, do you remember when you spanked me? Well, one of my shoes fell off. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The last few weeks we've been talking about church, be the church. What is the church? Let me just review a little bit. The church, as we understand, is the called out ones who assemble together at least every week. Last week we talked specifically about how each of us as individuals are the temple of God, and he wants to fill you with his spirit. You need to get filled with the spirit. And then we are citizens of heaven, and so we belong to God, and we set our minds on heavenly things. And we are God's house. Together we are his house. He is joining us together as we grow in our faith, and we always welcome him home. We're his house. Now today, I want to introduce the subject this way. The word brothers is found in the New Testament around 180 times. And it refers to Christians. We're brothers. The word father is used over 1,600 times in the Bible. That's more than prayer, praise, and worship all combined. In the Gospels and Acts, Jesus preferred to call God his father. And he used that name 171 times. And he taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven. And all of Paul's letters refer to God as Father in the greeting. And so you can probably guess today what the church is. It's the family of God. The church is the family of God. We are the family of God. Now, when we think about family, a lot of things might come to mind. Perhaps some TV families, whether good or bad. I grew up watching the Waltons, the Brady Bunch. My kids grew up with the Tanners of Full House, the Barones of Everybody Loves Raymond. And, you know, the list goes on and on. And some of those are good examples. Some of those are horrible examples of families. And so what really is a family? Well, a family is designed by God, first of all. It was designed to be a place of safety from the world. It's an environment where the art of nurturing takes place. It's a place where children are born and raised. It's where love takes place on a daily basis. It's where encouragement is dished out in large doses and where discipline is found and respect is taught. Now, every one of those things that I just said could just as easily apply to the church as family. Okay? It should be a safe place. There's nurturing taking place in the church. Where children are born, there should be new believers added to the kingdom. Okay? Encouragement should be dished out in large doses. And yeah, sometimes there has to be some discipline in the church too. Okay? It's much like a family. So Ephesians chapter 3, I want to read just the last few verses, starting at verse 14. And would you please stand? I'll read these verses. You can follow along. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." And now you may be seated. I'm not going to read it right now, but chapter 5 towards the end also talks about husbands and wives, kind of a family thing there. And so let me just talk about some fundamentals for families. And these apply both to your family and to the church family. The two basic fundamentals are love and respect. That's the basis of all of it. And here Paul says we are rooted in love. Love is a fundamental aspect of family. And we're talking about the self-sacrificing kind of love. Okay? You know what I'm talking about? Moms, when you gave birth, was that all wonderful? Maybe as soon as the birth was done, right? Then that changed the circumstances, but there was some sacrifice in 9 months of getting prepared for that, right? And then there's poopy diapers and all that. Some sacrifice goes on. And it continues for the rest of your life. If you're really part of a family, there's going to be some give and take, some sacrifice, and it's the same in the church family. And as God's family, we are to be loving and kind like a good family would be. Now here in chapter 3, it talks about just how extensive God's love is for us. He lowered himself to become a human being, and he died on a cross for us. That gives a basic idea of his love for us. It's really beyond our comprehension just how much God loves us. And yet, he is our example, and we should be loving each other deeply and self-sacrificially as well, because we are part of his family. And so it's rooted in love, but it's built with respect. And we show love and respect because it's right and because God is pleased with it. And again, these things apply both in your home and in the church as well. Another word for respect is honor. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says that as Christ followers, we should take delight in honoring each other. Now, did you catch that? We're to delight in honoring another person. It's not supposed to be a hassle or something we dread, but when we delight in honoring another person, it boosts their feeling of value, right? Now, last week, we gave away some candy bars as an expression of appreciation to all of our volunteers. And I want to tell you, that's fun for me to stand up here and call out all the various ministries and see all these people getting a bunch of candy bars because of their service. It's fun. And that's the way it's supposed to be when we honor each other. It's something we enjoy being a part of. Now, love and respect are shown in kind words and actions. It's shown in being helpful, encouraging, and expressing gratitude. Here's just a simple little true or false, don't answer out loud, but just for yourself, ponder these thoughts about respect. True or false, I treat other people the way I want to be treated. True or false, I am considerate of other people. True or false, I treat people with civility, courtesy, and dignity. I accept personal differences. I work to solve problems without violence. I never intentionally ridicule, embarrass, or hurt people. Okay? Those are just some basic concepts of how you show respect. And really, the answer to every one of those should be true. You understand? That's respect. Now, the people who have the most difficulty respecting others are those with an inflated idea of their own importance. Okay? Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 tells us to be humble, thinking of others as better than ourselves. And it says, don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they are doing. And so part of this honoring and showing respect and love is to have an interest in what other people are doing. Know what I'm talking about? Sometimes I have conversations with people, no offense, about things that really don't matter to me at all. Okay? But you matter to me, so I'm having that conversation. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Now, understand this. Respect is something that you choose to give to your spouse and family, including your church family, whether you think it has been earned or not. Got that? You choose it whether you believe it's been earned or not. Okay? Nowhere does the Bible say, the most classic one is Ephesians chapter 5, where it says, wives, respect your husbands, and it doesn't add a little clause, as long as he's earning your respect. It just says, wives, respect your husbands. Period. Okay? So it's something you choose to do. Now, I will say, we should all strive to be respectable and make that easy for people to respect us. Absolutely certain. But the point I'm making is it's a choice that you can make to show somebody respect. Period. Okay? We still friends out there? Okay. Who said no over here? Oh, we'll have a talk later. All right, here's some more fundamentals for family and church family. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, we've talked before about the need to put up with each other. That bearing with each other, that's literally what it means. Put up with each other. Okay? So a little humility and gentleness goes a long ways. Unity requires hard work. Okay. You guys have to put up with me. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Sometimes it's not easy. I know that. Okay? I have to put up with you, too. And sometimes that's not easy. Oh, it was funny when it was about me, but when I turn it around, it's not funny. What's up with that? Okay, we understand. In any relationship, there's going to be some putting up with each other. That's just the way life works in this fallen world. So we have to put up with each other. And we need to make every effort to keep the unity. Family ties require hard work. Church unity requires hard work. And so we need to have patience with each other. Parents with kids. Kids with parents. Siblings with siblings. Church leaders with church members. And members with leaders. As well as members with members. Make every effort. Be patient and humble, because unity requires hard work. When you're thinking about family, some out there may think, well, that's easy for you to say. Your family didn't have any issues. Wrong. Okay? I fought with my sisters just like you fought with your siblings. Believe me. David and I had a few tangles too. Okay? I didn't always think that dad and mom treated me fairly. And I know, I wasn't always the perfect child that you might imagine I was. Okay. I'm going to pause here for a moment. And, you know, the others in my family were not so perfect either. Okay. And you know what? We hung in there. We worked through those kind of things. We kept the unity in spite of our differences from time to time. And that's still true today. We gather together once in a while, and we have a lot of fun as a family. But I tell you what, there are still some instances where we rub each other wrong. Believe it or not, we're all grown-up people, all believers, and yet still sometimes we kind of, but we work through it. That's what families do. We work through it. And so we put up with each other. We make every effort to keep unity. Here's another fundamental. Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another. Now, on different occasions, for varying reasons, each one in the family will need to let the other family members take precedence. There are times when somebody's in the family is going through something particular, and so you might just have to back up a little bit and kind of let them have the center stage because they're dealing with something. You understand that? And then another time, it might be you, and they need to give you a little space. It's same in the church family, okay? Same in the church. I've used this example, Naomi and I use this in marriage counseling, but we've talked about how our two families are very similar. I mean, down to silly little things like at our house growing up, Friday night was pizza night. That was a special night. We had homemade pizza, and we got to have pop. Okay? Naomi's house was Saturday night. Exact same thing. Pizza and pop. I mean, some of our backgrounds are just uncannily similar, okay? However, there are still some differences. And so we decided a long time ago that when in Rome, you do as the Romans do, okay? Here's an example. I had to get used to, at the Matthews family, that's Naomi's family, sometimes they would have a 3-hour Christmas gift exchange marathon. Okay, and then in our family, Naomi had to get used to, my dad he's pretty in charge in my family, and breakfast is at a very certain time. Even on holidays, you do not sleep in because we're having breakfast, okay? So there's some give and take, okay? And I remember in the early days, I was kind of complaining about those marathons. And Naomi complained about the getting up early. But we learned to adapt. Okay? You submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, and you show honor in those ways. In fact, it's a sign of maturity when you allow others to have precedence. Okay? When you demand everything to be your way and in your time, that's childish. That's what toddlers with temper tantrums do. I want it my way. I want it now. That's childish stuff. So the idea of submitting and letting others have their preference, that's a sign of maturity. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 gives us another fundamental, and it speaks specifically to husbands. It says, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. What are you laughing at there, Mr. Tate? Husbands, we are instructed to understand our wives. Now, I know some of you would say quantum physics is easier than that. And yet, that's the instruction. Understand your wife. And that principle of understanding, I think, can be applied to relationships in the church as well. We should strive to understand each other. And James 1:19 helps us out here. It says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. So part of this understanding and listening is to be careful not to jump to conclusions. Okay, that's a big mistake, and we all do it from time to time. Something happens, we don't understand it, and so we jump to a conclusion of what must really have been happening. That's a mistake. We need to come to an understanding. And so when something gets under your skin, if you can't simply be okay with it, then you need to have a conversation face to face with the intent of listening and understanding the other person. Now I'm preaching. Okay? This is important because troubles come so often when people make an assumption about what took place and why it took place, and now I've got an attitude towards you because I've already decided why you did that. And I could be 100% wrong. And so what needs to happen is either one of two things. Either I just need to be okay with it and let it go. That is a viable option. Or I need to talk to you directly and not in an accusatory manner, but to simply ask, why did that happen the way it happened? Help me understand. Okay? That's how you resolve conflicts, that way. Thank you. Are we still friends? Some of this was a lot of fun and some of it's kind of pointy. It is what it is. Here's another fundamental. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. Perhaps the easiest way to grow a healthy relationship is to offer encouragement. You know, when you say a kind word and pat somebody on the back, that's only going to be a good thing. Okay? Now, how can you encourage one another in your homes or in the church? Here's two real simple ideas. Smile. Smile. That's encouraging. I don't have the greatest smile in the world because my teeth don't show much and all that. But, you know, my beard helps me a little bit. You can tell I'm smiling. Okay? But some of you have a great smile out there, and it sparkles. Smile. Job was a man acquainted with grief and sorrow, but in his book, chapter 29, he was recalling the days before he had all of his troubles, and he said that when people around him were discouraged, quote, I smiled at them. My look of approval was precious to them. A smile. So simple. And yet it can encourage. So never underestimate the power of smile. A smile not only increases your face value, okay? but it warms the heart of those you give it to. And let me tell you, I can tell you, it helps me when I'm preaching. And I look out there and I see people that are smiling or nodding. It helps me. It's an encouragement. Okay? So another way to show encouragement is point out the positive. That seems like a no-brainer. Point out the positive. Someone said, man doesn't live by bread alone. He also needs buttering up. And words are powerful because they can do an enormous amount of harm or a tremendous amount of good. Point out the positive. Encourage. A reporter once asked Andrew Carnegie, the great entrepreneur, why he hired 43 millionaires to work for him. And Carnegie pointed out that those men were not millionaires when he hired them. So the reporter then asked, how did you develop these men to become so valuable to you that you paid them so much money? And Carnegie replied that people are developed the same way gold is mined. When gold is mined, several tons of dirt must be moved to get an ounce of gold. But you don't go into the mine looking for dirt. You go in looking for gold. Same way in building healthy relationships. Yeah, we're going to have to dig out some dirt sometimes and throw some dirt off to the side. But we're not looking for dirt. We're looking for gold. So start today to look for gold in your child, in your spouse, in your parents, and in your church family. Look for the gold. Jesus certainly must have seen gold in the disciples he chose because they were a bunch of roughnecks. But he saw something in there, and he mined it out. Some other helpful things, Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages, talks about ways we can appreciate each other with time, words, gifts, touch, and service. Those are all useful things. And here's one more fundamental that I think is real important. Ask for and offer forgiveness. Anyone who lives in a family of any kind knows that people will disappoint and hurt you. Gonna happen. One gem of wisdom from people who have been married for many decades is this. You overlook a lot of little things and you forgive each other. And it's the same in the church. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. There it is. God, again, sets the example as our loving Heavenly Father. He forgives. Now we forgive. And forgiveness is not natural. It's way more natural to carry a grudge and to keep a record of wrongs in red highlight on a legal pad in our minds. And to think of ways of getting back at those who hurt us, that comes very naturally. But the Bible is clear in its instruction. As we have experienced forgiveness from God, we are to forgive each other. Are you thankful for God's forgiveness? You ought to be. And we need to forgive each other as well. There's a story, the Spanish have a story about a father who became estranged from his son. His father and son had differences and weren't talking with each other. The son left home, and the father later set out to find him. He searched for months without any success. And finally, in desperation, the father turned to the newspaper for help, and his ad simply read, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." On Saturday, 800 young men named Paco showed up looking for forgiveness and love from their estranged fathers. We all long for reconciliation when things have been broken. And there are some who desperately need that. Some of you need to experience that kind of forgiveness from God. And you can. God sent out a letter of forgiveness to us, and it's Jesus Christ. If you'll receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you have God's forgiveness. For some, it's about people that need to be forgiven. Or perhaps you need to ask for forgiveness for something that you said or did, and then change your behavior so it doesn't keep on happening. Church, we are the family of God. He's our Father who loves us more than we can imagine. So we follow his example and show love and respect to each other. We put up with each other. We submit to each other. We work to understand each other. We encourage each other. And we forgive each other. Because we're the family of God. Now, here's just a few more practical suggestions that I think are great for any family. You strengthen family ties when you eat together. When you play together, when you pray together, worship together, and when you make memories together, that strengthens your family. Same in the church. Church, we are a family. Like it or not, we're going to be in close proximity for all of eternity. So we may as well learn to get along now. And think of the ideal family. God's family is the ultimate family. And we are each a part of it. We belong. So remember who you are. You are part of the family of God. You're a son or a daughter of the King of Kings. Royal family. Remember the old song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined hairs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. That's who we are. Family of God. And so church, I'm going to close with a word of prayer, but before you go today, put a smile on your face. Offer some encouraging words to a few people. Ask forgiveness if needed. Listen and be the family of God. All right, would you please stand? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the privilege we have of being part of your family. And primarily our relationship with you as our loving Heavenly Father, that you pour out your love on us and you just bless us so much. Thank you, God. But we also understand that that means we're all related to each other as a family in Christ. So, Lord, help us to think like that and behave like that and work at it. Like a family would work at it. Help us to follow good, godly examples and be the family of God, loving each other, respecting each other, encouraging each other. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, God's blessings on you. Have a great week. If you will, join us across the hall in the gym for lunch today.